Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR Now. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. As we approach the centennial anniversary of Armistice Day, there has been a growing conversation about the impact the First World War had on the U.S. and the world as a whole. Now celebrated as Veterans Day, the war famously ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918.
While the U.S. didn't enter the war until 1917, by the time the tensions ceased, more than 4 million American military personnel had been mobilized, including some of the first women to serve in the U.S. Army.
The Hello Girls were women switchboard operators on the front lines. Trenches were equipped with telephones, which enabled soldiers to send important messages from the front lines. But although the Hello Girls were in the trenches, their military service wasn't officially recognized for another 7 decades after they returned home.
Filmmaker James Theres tells Lake Effect's Joy Powers that he was inspired to make his documentary called The Hello Girls when he first heard about their service. But the Racine native learned about the group of switchboard operators from the early 20th century in a decidedly 21st century fashion.
I did a Google search, but not specifically for them. I did a Google search for World War I. I knew that anniversary was coming up this year. And so I was looking for a story that I wanted to tell in film. So I Googled World War I, and the book The Hello Girls, America's First Female Soldiers, written by Elizabeth Cobbs, came up in the search, in the top 10 of the Google search. And I looked down, and I said, oh, that's very interesting. And so I got to her author page, and I sent her an email, and it just so happened that in a month, and this was June of last year, in a month she was coming to Washington, D.C. to give a lecture on the Hello Girls. She said, I'd love to be part of your documentary, and that's how it happened.
It is a forgotten bit of history. As someone who, you know, has obviously gone through school, studied a fair amount of American history, I knew nothing about the Hello Girls. And it kind of made me wonder, how did it get buried in the first place?
Yeah, you know, I think you really have to mentally transport yourself 100 years ago. And just the fact that women, these women and other women were starting to get into the workplace, that was a huge leap. And you have to remember, women didn't even have the right to vote when these women went to war. So it was a different time, and, you know, they went over, and I think the women knew that they were doing something that was going to be significant for women. I don't know if they captured all of it, but they wanted to be the best at what they did, and ultimately they were, because I think they realized they were setting the stage. And when they came back, it changed President Wilson's mind about women's suffrage. He was adamantly against it. And when they came back and the other women came back, he realized the world was changing, and he wanted to give them the right to vote.
Yeah. As you mentioned, this was a time in which women were really starting to get into the workplace, and these women were already working for the phone companies here in the U.S., and that was one of the reasons they were chosen to go to the front lines. Why did they bring over women instead of having men who might have already been in the Army controlling the phone boards?
A couple of things. Now, you got to think that they had been at war for 3 years, and when the Americans came in, they were very fresh, and they were using telephone technology over there, but they were just fresh. So there was the English and French women, and then there was the men. Well, General Pershing wasn't happy with either of those two. The men didn't really want to do the job, and they could only connect a call in 60 seconds. Well, the women were trained to connect that call in 10 seconds here in the United States. You know, General Pershing knew that, and the people that were with him were a lot of AT&T officers that came from AT&T, and they crossed over to be Army officers. And they said, we got these women that are all already trained in this. And so General Pershing wrote, cabled back to the War Department and said, hey, I need women soldiers. I need them uniformed, and I need them over here.
Oh, and he called them soldiers.
Yes.
Which, of course, came up much later, and we'll get to that in a moment. But how were these women specifically chosen for this job? Out of all the women who are already working in the U.S., how did these women get chosen to become what would become the Hello Girls?
right? The first call for women was 100 women, and 7,600 women applied for those 100 jobs, which is very interesting in that all of the women volunteered for World War One, and half of the men did. Now, the numbers for the men were much larger, but all of the women volunteered. The first group of women, the first couple of groups, needed to be English and French speakers, so that was a priority. They also, some of them, not all of them, had already worked for AT&T or were already, you know, working for AT&T as telephone operators. And not all, but several of them had college education or were in college at the time. Grace Banker had graduated from Barnard College. So they had kind of those three things. They were a little bit more educated. They spoke English and French. And some had already been working for AT&T.
Now, as you were going through your research, you found a couple of women, at least, who were actually from Wisconsin. Can you tell me a bit about their journeys?
Yeah, very interesting. I think I can tell you, I don't know much about Margaret Hanen, except that she settled in Green Bay. But I can tell you a great story about Hildegard Van Brunt. She was born in Paris. She came to the United States, and then she went back to serve in the war as a telephone operator. And so her mother went overseas, too, served in the Red Cross. Well, Hildegard, when she came back, just kind of went on with her life and married a World War One soldier, and that's why they came back to Milwaukee. So fast forward to her granddaughter. Her granddaughter never knew. She had pictures of her grandmother, but never knew what she had done. She thought, you know, the family story was that she went overseas and worked for the Red Cross. Well, the local reporter, Meg Jones from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, did a story on the Hello Girls and asked to see her grandmother's photo. And sure enough, she had a Hello Girl uniform on and the armband. And that's when she found out what her grandmother really did, that she was a telephone operator in this historic group of 223 women.
So that history had even been lost inside of their family.
It has been lost. It was lost inside of the family. I will even say that when I brought this to the attention of AT&T, it was kind of lost. Their historian knew about it, and they knew a book had recently been written. But within the organization, it was kind of lost that 100 years ago they played such a significant role in World War One, helping us win that war and the Allies.
Well, and the Hello Girls faced a similar fate to many female veterans who would follow them. Specifically, they were told when they came back that they weren't veterans, that they had never been a part of the Army. And it took a very long time for them to get official recognition.
All right. Yeah, well, it took 60 years. And it really comes down to one word, one or two words, the word man and men. So when the Navy wrote their regulations, the Navy and the Marine Corps wrote their regulations, they basically said that any person can serve. They used the word person. So those women who didn't deploy but certainly served a significant role in Navy and Marines here in the States, I think there was about 13,000 of them. After the war, they got veteran status. So Navy and Marine women did. Well, the Army, when it wrote its regulations, the whole regulation is peppered with the word man or men. There is no mention of a person. There is no mention of women. So when they came back, that's what the Army and the government stood by and said, no, you were contractors. But they actually took Army oaths. They wore uniforms. They were subject to military law. But that regulation and the intransigence and not wanting to change that regulation is what held them up for 60 years.
60 years later, how did they finally prove that they were a part of the Army?
So throughout that whole 60-year period, Merle Egan from Montana, she kind of led the fight along with some other women and the National Organization for Women. So during that time, over 50 bills had been introduced in Congress, but never got to the point where they were voted on and just kind of died in the process. And then in the early 70s, a young attorney by the name of Mark Ho, he read an article in Seattle about Merle Egan and her fight to get recognition for these women. and he contacted her, and he was an attorney, and he helped her out. He kind of organized everything. And so he was getting ready to prepare a case against the government to get these women their recognition. But then they found out, along with the National Organization for Women, that Senator Barry Goldwater and Senator Daniel Inouye and Congresswoman Lindy Boggs out of Louisiana were working on legislation to get the World War II women, who were also forgotten by the government, the pilots and stuff, was working on legislation to get them recognition. And so Mark Hoe contacted Senator Goldwater's office and said, hey, here's another group of women from World War I. And so they added their names to the legislation, and then that's how it happened by 1977.
When we look back at the story of the Hello Girls, their fight for recognition, and their service during World War I, what do you think we learn about the U.S. Army?
You know, what we learned is that, one, everything has a starting place. You know, when you build and you're standing on people's shoulders, it starts somewhere. And I think it's very important that you find out where that starting place is. I think number two, the Army found out that men and women could work together in close quarters. They were very skeptical of that. They just didn't think that that was possible, that men and women could work together so closely. And they found out, indeed, that they could. And I think the last thing is that when it comes to American citizenship, serving in the military has always been kind of a gateway or a pathway to being recognized as citizens. And that was kind of what the Hello Girls, maybe unintentionally, they kind of did. When they put on the uniform and served overseas in combat, because they were in combat, at least via artillery fire and airplanes, they kind of said to everyone else, look, we are citizens. We want our voice to be heard. And that's also where that started. So I think the Army learned, through the Army, they learned a couple things. But specifically for the Army, they learned that men and women could work together. I did want to mention, very exciting, I don't know if it's opportunity or development, a group of us working alongside with the World War I Centennial Commission here in Washington, D.C., are working with some members of Congress, specifically right now Senator Tester's office, to secure the Congressional Gold Medal for the women. And hopefully that happens. Other groups that have earned that medal are the Tuskegee Airmen, the Montford Point Marines, the Filipino veterans, and even the women, some women of World War II, the WASPs, the Women Army Pilots, got that medal. So we're hoping that Congress will see that these women deserve that same recognition. And so we're working on that right now.
That is exciting news.
It is, yeah. And very thankful that Senator Tester's office from Montana kind of picked that up. And what's interesting, of course, is that it all comes full circle, if you will, because Merle Egan, who led the effort, was from Montana. And so it's kind of fitting, very fitting, that a U.S. senator from Montana would now take the lead in getting these women recognized with that Congressional Gold Medal.
Wisconsin native James Theris is a documentary maker whose film The Hello Girls airs on Wisconsin Public Television tomorrow morning at 10:30. Theris spoke with Joy Powers, and there is more information about The Hello Girls at WUWM.com.